Speaking of which, I mean, this is a complete aside. I did a gig last night. I have to tell you this story. I mean, I have these funny stories from time to time, but I did a gig. No, it's not Snarky Puppy this time. It was a very, very run-of-the-mill gig in a sense, because, you know, from time to time I do these gigs. We play at weddings and birthday parties. It's somebody's 50th birthday. And I found out that this guy, he'd had cancer for the last 10 years, and so he'd been battling it, and he's rather well off. You know, if he can afford to pay for a birthday party for about 250 people and have a band and all that kind of thing in the Cotswolds, it's, you know, it's reasonably well off. But there's reasonably well off and there's reasonably well off. Anyway, he after he found out he got cancer, one of his friends said, well, have you made a bucket list? You know, this idea that you tick off a whole load of things you want to do before you die. And one of his things was he'd like to drive a Ferrari around the Alps. And his friend happened to have a Ferrari. So he'd asked his friend if he could borrow the Ferrari, and his friend said no, and for whatever reason. So this same friend said, well, meet me in London. So went down to London, and this guy, this friend, bought him a Ferrari. Yeah. That's it. That's my story. I don't have anything else. There's nothing profound. I was in the presence of these people last night. No, I was wondering why I didn't get some, you know, such a better fee for the thing. But anyway, completely aside, if you want to find a... You won't remember any of this now. You'll just think, oh, he's somebody had a Ferrari bought for him yesterday. Let us turn to Luke chapter 1 again. Oh, dear. We probably have to take communion again now to purify ourselves or something, just to get that thought out of our minds. Check the car park. It wasn't me. We've still got this the Toyota. Now, last week I said I thought in some ways Mary, and if you didn't, you can catch up on this online, that Mary was the first Christian missionary. In that she was the first person to bring Christ to the world. And so today I'm also we're focusing a little bit on Mary this Advent. I'm going to put to you that Mary is the first disciple of Jesus. I've never thought of this before, but it's just sort of come to me as I've been looking at Mary and just thinking out how all this played out for her. So we're going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 for a few verses and just see what we learn through Mary again. So it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. You might want to highlight that verse. That's a brilliant verse. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. That last verse there. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me be fulfilled. That's where we're focusing today. That I don't think there's ever been a yes. That's got Mary's yes to God, isn't it? So God says something and she says yes. I don't think there's ever been a yes that has been quite so all-consuming as that yes. You know, there's been many people that have been called by God over the millennia to do things, to go places, to say things. And many of them have been radical. I mean, you think about Noah, don't you? You know, he had to build the ark. That was a pretty big thing. Then you've got Abraham who's to leave his home and go and travel to a place God would show him. That's a pretty big thing. You've got Moses, you know, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. You've got Isaiah, go and speak to the people. Those are all your kind of biblical characters. You know, there's loads of them, aren't there? You can think, you know, God called them to do this, that, and the other. And then I was thinking, you know, there are more modern people, you know, like Jackie Pullinger. Do you know the story of Jackie Pullinger, who's just as a young girl, just got on a boat and ended up in Hong Kong, and God called her to work amongst the drug addicts in Hong Kong. She's still there, and she's in her 60s now? 70. Oh, yes, just turned 70. Mother Teresa, you might have heard of her. You know, and John's introduced me to this chap called Rainer Bonnke. He's, you know, he's gone to Africa and seen millions of people come to the Lord. And these are all big calls. They're all kind of quite consuming things. But I don't think any of them have quite dominated these people's lives in an all-consuming way as much as Mary. All the ladies who've had children are now going, Why is this? Because literally for 9 months Jesus took over her body. Her whole life then, from then onwards, was dedicated to caring for him, looking after him. And I don't, you know, there's that stage as well, that when children leave home, the parents, of course, then stop worrying, don't they? And the parents stop caring, don't they? You know, they kind of think, oh, great, you know. I mean, Louise and I have got it planned. When Abigail turns 18, we've got our holiday planned. Yeah, as if it's just going to be like that, you know. She's left now, we're kind of free again. We're like we were when we were first married, and we can just do what we want. It works like that, doesn't it? No, it doesn't work like that. Don't worry, you're not disillusioning me. I've observed, I have seen how it works. Because parenting is all-consuming. You know, the thing about Noah, he built the ark, and we had a guy coming around and doing some work at our house yesterday, and he said, do you mind if I have 5 minutes off? And I was like, of course I don't mind. You know, but I mean, Noah was in that kind of situation. He probably had those moments when he could put his saw and his hammer down and sort of think, do you know what, I'm nearly there, but I'm just going to have 5 minutes if that's all right, you know. And he could actually probably just go off for the day, maybe, and just think, well, it's nearly there, but, you know, I've got... It was a pretty big project, but he could have a little... He could have his day off. You know, I'm guessing Isaiah, you know, he could have had a few moments off from preaching. He wasn't sort of preaching continually. But for Mary, you just don't stop being a mum. And to be mother to a Christ, to the Christ, was not just a job or a call. It was actually her life. Absolutely, completely and totally, utterly her life. Every single area of her life would have been occupied by Jesus. I mean, she would have carried him for 9 months, as I said. There would have been many years nurturing him. There would have been many hours pondering in her heart, because she pondered in her heart, you know, what is going on here? She would have watched him go into ministry, and then the struggle and the pain that he would have gone through, she would have watched it, and she ultimately watched him go to the cross, didn't she? And so when Mary says yes to the angel here, to the angel Gabriel, this is a long-term yes. And she is there, if you read the story, she's there at the beginning, obviously, and she's there right at the end. And so, from the moment he was conceived inside her, Mary lived to serve Jesus completely. So that yes was a life-changing, a life-submitting moment for Mary. Everything was given over to God in that moment, wasn't it? I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me. May your word to me be fulfilled. Not a part-time commitment. And so I was thinking, you know, 30 or, you know, people reckon Jesus was about 30 when he went into ministry. 30 years before Peter and Andrew left their nets to follow Jesus, Mary left her planned life for Jesus, didn't she? You know, I mean, Peter and Andrew, they had their sort of little fishing business, or however it worked, and, you know, they left that for Jesus. But actually, long before that happened, Mary left her life to allow Jesus to be Jesus in her life. And so I'd like us to consider that Mary is actually the first disciple. And there's no, I mean, so what? I mean, it doesn't really make that much difference, does it, whether she's the first disciple or not. But I think sometimes we miss it out, because if you even read your Bibles, if you look in Matthew, it sort of, it says, there's a bit where it's the calling of the first disciples. Then you've got Peter and Andrew by the neck. And the Bible translators have put that kind of in as if we're skipping a bit here. But actually, if you just read the scripture, you know, you look at Mary and you just think, well, here she was, you know, betrothed to Joseph, and she's just had this. She would have had just a very average and normal life. Yeah, just going to be married to a carpenter, probably have a few children, and we'll raise a family, and we'll just live happily ever after, or maybe not so where was it, Galilee. And then Mary says yes to God, and there's this strange plan. I mean, it's a bit of a strange thing. In fact, actually, whenever you have God say things to people, it's never quite makes sense, does it? You know, go to a land, I'll show you. That don't really make much sense. But so the angel comes along and says, oh, yeah, you'll have a child, and the Holy Spirit will make you conceive. And you think, yeah, oh, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, of course. You know. But she said yes to that. And actually, in saying yes to that, she even had a moment to start thinking about this. You know, that's the end of her relationship with Joseph. I mean, I know it isn't in the story, but actually, at that moment, when the angel says it, she's actually saying, I'm going to end it, because God has spoken to me. She's actually saying, okay, I'm going to be rejected by my family, and I am going to be rejected by my community. And actually, if you read, it says straight after this in Luke 39, it says, Mary hurried to Elizabeth. Now, I wonder whether she's hurrying to Elizabeth or whether she's hurrying away from her community. I don't know. You can speculate, but one way or another, this would have been a huge thing. Mary saying yes to God was effectively her saying no to everything else she might have planned. Mary was ready to receive Jesus. And she opens up to God the opportunity to completely change the plans for her life. And as with everything, when Jesus comes in, you know, everything's turned upside down. Relationships, family, friends, future, security, particularly security, you know, because security was in the family and the community there. All of that thrown up into the air. And so she allows him to completely reshape the course of her life. So it seems to me that Mary is the first person who gives their life to Jesus. We talk about that. Have you given your life to Jesus? And we have an idea what that may look like based on maybe following some of the disciples, as we know them, you know, Andrew and Peter and all that lot. But actually, here is a woman who gave her life to Jesus, literally. The first disciple, I would say. And the strange thing is, and you know, this will bend your mind, won't it? Because Jesus gave up his life for her and all of us. But she first gave up her life for him. Jesus gave up his life, and that brought salvation. Mary gave up her life, and that brought a way for Jesus to be fully human as well as fully God. That's quite mind-blowing. And you get a picture of Mary. She treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. I think it's going to take you a little while to work this out. I've given my life for this child, and this child's going to give me. I mean, she probably wouldn't have known all that there and then, but there you go. And as I've started to ponder this, I've actually started to think, well, what does discipleship really mean? Because we're called to be disciples, right? And we're called to make disciples. Yeah, we're all on the same page with that, yeah? But what does that look like? Remember last week I said Mary got us to question as well. You know, how can this be? You know, it's good to question. What does discipleship look like? I've always taken the approach, I think it means something like the 12 disciples or Paul or somebody like that. You know, they meet Jesus, they follow Jesus, and in doing so they learn a little bit more about him. And as they learn more about Jesus, they know more about Jesus, they become more like Jesus, and that's sort of an ongoing process, really. And in our culture, we have a similar kind of thing. We try and sort of emulate that, really, in a way. And we have this encounter. We see people that have an encounter with Christ, and then we might start to go to church. We might start to read our Bible. We might start to pray, and we do all these kind of things. They're relational things, aren't they? Where we get to know God through getting to know one another and getting to know His Word and those kind of things. And then we do Christian things, like we have church services and we have home groups and all that kind of stuff. And in bit by bit, our lives are transformed and changed and shaped. And I know you look around the room and you just think, okay, People are changed here. We're different people because we've done these things and we're more Christ-like. Believe it or not, you are more Christ-like. You know, you've got to be confident in that. And we grow in Christ. And that's discipleship. We call that discipleship. We have discipleship courses that you can probably go on and do all these things. And that's how we do it in our culture. And I'm not knocking any of that because I think it's right. You know, I mean, as I said to this chap I met yesterday, there's part of me just thinks, I know I can learn something from you. Just by the passion he was speaking with, I thought, I can learn something from you. I know I can teach you something as well. But the shame of it was that I wasn't able to have that ongoing thing. And so I think everything I've just described and what we understand as discipleship is good and right. But I'm challenged by Mary to wonder whether there's something a little bit deeper, a little bit more fundamental, a little bit, our understanding of discipleship is even more base than that. See, Peter and Andrew and all those others that followed after them, they had a man to follow. They had a person, someone that they could watch, someone they could ask questions of, someone they could listen to, and someone they could literally follow. But Mary doesn't have that, does she? In fact, she had to teach him. You know, he's crawling around. I come, Jesus, you've got to walk now. You can be walking on water someday, but you've got to walk on this land first of all, and I'm going to show you to do it, you know? Yeah? Yeah? Imagine doing Sunday school with Jesus. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about this. You know, I mean, it's a good point. You know, what do toddlers say? What's one of the things that they, what do they always ask? Why? Exactly. You imagine Jesus asking you why. You know, granddad's just died. Why? And you've got to explain to the creator of the universe why this has happened. I mean, we struggle with why questions as it is, you know. And we always go to God, you know, why has this happened, God? And then you've got the toddler God speaking to you. I mean, this is just like, you know. It's fun to think about these things, I have to say. I mean, I don't know whether it gets you anywhere, but it is. It's She had to lead him and teach him how to grow up, basically. And her life was given over to Jesus before she even knew him. Before there was anything really to follow of anything, you know. Like there was no teaching, there was no miracles, there was no, well, apart from the miracle in her, yes, but you know what I mean? There was no kind of, there was, okay, now what do I do? There was nothing to follow, really, in a sense. She wasn't following a man. She wasn't following him as a teacher or a miracle worker or as a strong leader or as a saviour. She was just simply surrendered her life to him. That was it. And I remember Philip Greenslade, he talked about, I think it was when he was referring to, he was teaching on how, why God loved Israel. And what's God's reason for loving Israel? And his reason for loving Israel is because he loved Israel. Not because they're a big nation or a small nation. And what is pure love? It's just love for the sake of love. You know? I might say, oh, I love Anu's red top. But I'm loving her for her red top. I'm not loving her for her. But if I just say I love Anu, why? Just because I love Anu. Well, then there's no reason. You can't get any better than that, because she might say, well, if I make a great curry, which she does, and you know, it's nice food and the samosas and all that, well, he might love me more. No, I won't, actually, because I just love anew. And that's just, if I say that, then that's that. Yeah. And so when Mary says she gives her life, there's nothing for her to give her life for, you know, well, why? We might say, oh, well, I love Jesus because he saved me. Or I love Jesus because he's done great things in my life. Or I've done, you know, Jesus is a great teacher. I love his teaching. But actually, but below all of that, I mean, those things are true, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I think his teaching is great, so I'm loving that. But deep down at the bottom of it, Mary just said yes. Said, yeah, whatever. Do it, Lord. She just loved him. Because that's what mums do, isn't it? And before she knew anything, she just simply allowed this person to overtake her life unconditionally. I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. And Mary's life was all consumed and completely taken over by Jesus. And so I'm challenged by that, because Mary's response to God's grace, I think, is a challenge to us. It's a model to us. And shouldn't every disciple be all consumed by Jesus? Shouldn't we be all consumed by his call on our life? I don't know about you, but I think it's easy for us to separate our lives into... We do it subconsciously sometimes, but we also do it consciously other times as well. We divide our life into bits where it's kind of Jesus' bits and my bits, you know. If I'm honest, there are some times when I wake up on a Sunday morning and I'm planning a bike ride for Monday, you know. I'll be honest with you. And it's got nothing to do with the Lord. I'm just thinking, tomorrow, I've got a busy day Sunday, but tomorrow I can just go and ride up Box Hill or whatever. But we all do it, you know. I go to church, or I have prayer time. We have a prayer time, don't we? You notice that. You know, we have Bible study, or we serve at various Christian things, and those are the Jesus bits of our life. But then we say, you know, but I have my me time, or I have family time. You know, how many people have you heard that? You know, I can't come to church on Sunday, but I've got family time. By the way, I'm not knocking family, all right? Family's all right. You know, I've got my job, or my free time, like I mentioned a minute ago. But actually, should any disciple say that there are some bits of life that are theirs and there are some bits of their life that are Jesus'? Now, I'm not saying that work or family or hobbies or fun stuff is not allowed. I think it is, in fact. I think actually our faith encourages family. I think our faith encourages vocation and enjoyment of life. But I'm just saying we shouldn't ever limit our discipleship and our following of Christ to just the churchy things. And I know you know that, but if you look at Mary and you see the all-consuming nature of what Jesus was to her, then that challenges us. Because fundamentally we are a disciple of Christ, and to say that we are saying unconditionally, every area of my life is, I'm the Lord's servant. And you can do that on a bike, fortunately. But it's a change of mindset, it's a change of way, it's a change of thinking. So if the angel Gabriel came to us today and said a whole lot of stuff that we probably wouldn't understand, I wonder what our response was. I think actually the Lord does say to us continually, Jesus wants to come in and live with you. And not just bits, but the whole lot of your life. And our challenge is, can we say, I'm the Lord's servant, maybe according to your word? Because that's how Mary responded to his grace. Because at the end of the day, it was God's grace that chose Mary. We looked at this last week. It was God's grace that just pulled this, I don't know whether it was a name out of a hat almost, you know. There's nothing about Mary that we read that makes her any special person or any different to anybody else. But Mary was just chosen by God to receive grace. But she responded to that grace in an incredible way. Let's pray. And before we pray, I'm going to read you a bit of Colossians. I read it out a week or so ago, but it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. In him, all things were created. All things. All things have been created through him, and all things are created for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, what Mary did was actually just, she got in line with creation. Because actually, it's all for him, it's all through him, and in him all things hold together. She just submitted herself to that. So Lord, we come to you, and we're just thankful for the stories and the teaching of your scriptures, and we thank you for Mary and all that you did in her life. We thank you for Jesus and how she brought Jesus into this world. But we just thank you also just for the model that she is to us, and that all-consuming Jesus in her life. We pray, open our hearts to be similar in the sense that our lives would be completely devoted and given over to you, Lord Jesus. Let our lives be an offering to you. Let us give our lives to you as you've given your life for us. We're an advantage. We know what Jesus has done for us. Mary just didn't know anything about that. But we pray in various different ways. Show us and teach us what it is to be a full-on disciple for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And just before we finish, I was walking here and I just felt the Lord drop this thing in my head, so I'm just going to say it, because what does that look like? And I think sometimes we just think, okay, disciple me, you know, full on Jesus, that means I've got to, you know, be a missionary now as of tomorrow morning, and you've got to sell the house and go move to some part of the world I've never even heard of. I was reminded of another Mary in the scriptures. There's the Mary and the Martha, you remember? I tell you what, if I was going to write the Bible, I've said this before, but if I was writing the Bible when I was making it up, I wouldn't choose all the names that are the same, because it gets really confusing when you've got two Marys, you know. So which one are we talking about? Anyway, I have had less sleep than normal, so that's why I'm going off on these red herrings today. I just think sometimes, what is it, what is the discipleship that God is looking for? Actually, first and foremost, it's not being busy. Because Martha was running around, wasn't she? Running around, being busy. And Mary says, hang on a second. Can you have a word with her? Shouldn't she be serving you? Like, shouldn't, you know. And actually, Jesus says, no, Mary's got it right, just to sit at my feet. And first and foremost, that discipleship is actually to sort of say, I'm going to bin everything else, I'm just going to sit with the Lord and just to listen, and just to receive. And so I think that's maybe particularly in this busy season, maybe that's a word to some of you here. I just felt God reminding me of that story just to bring, so there may be some of you just need to hear that actually, first and foremost, the fundamental thing with this discipleship stuff is not to be running around. I'm not saying we don't do things, but actually first and foremost is just to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he's saying.